Now, last time I spoke was on 75 verses of Luke chapter 1. According to the website, we took 36 minutes over that. To my calculation, that's 30 seconds per verse. Today, I've got 6 verses. So you may be thinking that we're going to take 3 minutes. And you'd be wrong. Very wrong. We've got a couple of places in mind as part of these verses in Acts. First is Joppa. Hopefully some of you will remember that at the beginning of October we looked in the British service at Jonah, our unlikely hero, and Jonah left from Joppa to try and escape reaching out to Nineveh, to the Gentiles, which is again links actually back into what we're looking at. We also have Lydda, however you want to pronounce it, which is a bit more inland, and actually is at the heart of the conflict that there's been, the Arab-Israeli conflict. It's this area that's particularly at the heart of it, so it's interesting. Now, maybe a little-known fact about Lydda concerns a certain patron saint. So St. George is buried at Lydda, and actually is thought that he may have come from there in the first place, and that's where he was beheaded. No, he wasn't English, and he wasn't even a saint, but hey, St. George, and he's many countries, a number of countries' patron saint as well. So this is the area that we're involved in. We've got Jerusalem down in the bottom right, and we're going up to Joppa in the top left. It's important that we see that we're moving out of Jerusalem. Everything in Acts so far that's been covered has been happening in Jerusalem, and we're moving away now. We're moving out. So let's read what it says in Acts 9, verse 36 to 42. I am conscious we put the verses up on the screen for convenience, for help, but I do encourage you that you don't rely on that you check out the scriptures yourselves. Make sure that I'm not editing it to make it fit my message. This is what the Word of God says, and we should follow that in our Bibles. It says, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent 2 men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying, and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. We can wonder why Tabitha, or Dorcas, as we also know her as. Why Tabitha? It doesn't seem that her life was at the epicenter of what was going on in the church. She wasn't this great theologian and eloquent preacher. She didn't seem to be the main financier of the church. No brave deeds were performed. But yet, the descriptions for Tabitha that I've come across are this: Tabitha, an exemplary disciple. Tabitha, a woman who lived for Jesus. Tabitha, a woman God used. Dorcas, full of good works. Dorcas, the death of a godly woman. Now we're going to see that have the phrase, "We don't know much about Tabitha," a few times this morning. So much so that actually we got pictures of Tabitha and nobody knows exactly how to draw her, how to paint her, and everybody interprets her at different ages, different styles. See, we don't know much about Tabitha. But we do know that she was called a disciple. In fact, Tabitha, and I'll probably use Tabitha a lot more than I use Dorcas for some reason, Tabitha is unique. This is the only reference to the feminine version of the word disciple. She is the first woman to be directly addressed as a disciple. Now, there were probably a number of other women that we would call disciples, but they're all as part of a group, and along with the apostles and the other disciples that we know. This is early in the church, and it needs to be clear that Dorcas was a disciple in her own right, not mentioned in any way linked with husband, family, any other association. In her own right, she was a disciple. But she obviously had her circumstances that led her into this place, and there's a challenge for us as to, you know, we all have our unique circumstances. You know, whether we're single, whether we're divorced, whether we're widowed, whether we're childless, whether we're bereaved, whether we're ill, whether we're disabled. Whatever our circumstances, they'll affect both our personality, our character, but they'll affect our circumstances. And we need to be working out discipleship under those circumstances. Tabitha worked out discipleship clearly better than most, but she worked it out whatever her circumstances were. She was a disciple. She was humble. She was she was making clothing. She was sewing. It's not an exotic task. It's a humble task. She was a servant. She served others. She was selfless. She gave of her time, finances, and energy. And she was compassionate. She saw the need of the widows, and she served them. She was compassionate. Jesus served. You know, we got the stories of the feeding of the 5,000, of the healings. Jesus was served. And Jesus had compassion. We read a number of times how Jesus had compassion upon the people that were around. Tabitha, Dorcas, had all those attributes. See, to be a disciple, it means a learner, a pupil. And Billy Graham said, a disciple is simply someone who believes in Jesus and seeks to follow him in his or her daily life. A disciple wants to learn from God and from his word. He wants to put into action that way, put that word into action, seeking to live the way that Christ wants us to live. So being a disciple involves more than the initial act of trusting Christ. A disciple follows Christ. A disciple accepts his discipline. A disciple acknowledges his authority and lordship. And a disciple submits to his rule. This is a challenge. It's a challenge to me. Because then I read through that list. I have to ask myself, what sort of disciple am I? Can I emulate Dorcas? Peter 2:21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. See, we often quote Matthew 11:28 to 30, but actually the thing is we often quote Matthew 11:28, which says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But it doesn't stop there. It actually reminds us that there's a yoke to take on as well. And although that yoke, it says, is easy and his burden is light, it does say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So we need all of that. See, we don't know much about Tabitha. But we do know that she was always doing good and helping the poor. Now, my spell checker kept wanting to change this, and any English teachers kept wanting me to say, always doing well. But it's always doing good. She was always doing good. See, why does it say, tell us that her name was both Tabitha and Dorcas? You know, I read a number of people kept going on about how both of those names mean gazelle and drawing things out that she was like a gazelle. She didn't have any say in it, did she? And I'm not particularly aware that gazelles are particularly adept at sowing. So I sort of rather rejected that. And I think it's because she was serving both all the communities. She was welcomed and loved because of what she was doing across both the Aramaic, the Jewish, and the Greek communities, the Greek-speaking communities. She didn't actually show favor. She reached out to where the need was across those. You know, in previous generations, places like Joppa were particularly prone to a high level of widows. It was a port, and there were lots of people going out in their boats and ships, and they would get shipwrecked and they would drown and would leave a lot of widows. It was a particular need. It was a great need. Maybe the most important need that Joppa had. And Dorcas filled that need. You know, again, there's a challenge as to, are we fulfilling, are we serving the greatest need? And in many ways, I think you can say yes. I think if you look at all the things that we do, and that through John and Emmanuel Europe, with the water filters, you know, and the Kadini school that we're helping with, you could say, yes, we are fulfilling lots of great needs. But again, there's a challenge. Is there a need that you think we're missing? There may be someone here is being called to be a Dorcas and help fill that need. You know, come back to that. I asked the question of how and why was Joppa known? And the obvious answer is because of Jonah and because of the cedars trees that were brought in through the port that Solomon used in the temple. I think Joppa was known because of the work of Tabitha. You know, Dorcas has given her name to a lot of charities, to especially those that are in the area of sewing, of clothes, of teaching sewing, teaching the making of clothes. And a number of us are familiar with one of them, the Dorcas Center in Burkina Faso. Now, this is from the first visit, and we've got Stuart and Gareth, who spoke a couple of weeks ago, with their purchases from the Dorcas Center that made. I have to say that the young woman with Gareth seems a lot happier with his purchase than the woman doesn't seem quite so sure that what Stuart's got is going to fit him. Which presumably means that the other young lady thinks that that will fit Gareth, but there's some serious measuring going on. Lots of activity as these, and one rather wonderfully, this year's intake with all their sewing machines. And I think Marie Haynes, I think, took out a sewing machine in this last visit. So this is very special for them. And it's quite a thing that it's become. There's the result of that that visit. For the sake of the recording, just going to say I'm just holding up a very demure, tastefully understated garment. It has nothing to do with my colour blindness, or and Christine loves, absolutely loves. But we, I say, the name Dorcas is associated with lots of things. And it's God's plan that we are that type of disciple, that we are that sort of person that serves in that way. But it also, I'm also conscious that it also, we can serve in our jobs. And we can have the right attitude about our jobs. What do you do for Christ each day? A faithful Christian said. And I replied, I drive a truck and fill the stores with bread. He said, I know of your bread route, and that is not the thing. I mean, what do you do each day for Jesus Christ the King? I said, but I believe a man can work in such a way that selling bread is work for Christ, a sacrament each day. Once more the man inquired, but sir, if this is not unfair, what do you do for Christ each day, like witnessing and prayer? I said, work is my best witness, and selling bread to them is like a prayer in Jesus' name. I drive the truck for him. We can serve in our work lives. But I'm conscious, so just to say, obviously we can follow the Dorcas Association on Facebook if we want. But I just want to be sure what the message isn't. The message isn't that we are saved by works. So Ephesians 8 to 10 says, well, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And Titus 3 verse 5 says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. But Titus 3 verse 8 reminds us, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. See, salvation is obtained without good works, but the saved will be evident through their good works. So Tabitha's a disciple. Tabitha's always doing good works. The other thing we know about Tabitha, because we don't know much about Tabitha, but we do know that she became ill and died. We don't know what caused it. We don't know how long she was sick for. But we do know that she came in and died. You know, the widow showed Peter when he arrived all the clothes that Dorcas had provided. You know, a bit like the children at Cadini School showing off their exercise books, or the cap clients showing off their Christmas hampers. These people were devastated by Dorcas's death. So what was to be done? Now, as far as I've read, if you died in Jerusalem, you had to be buried in a day. But outside of Jerusalem, where we are here, you have 3 days. But something had to be done quick. And they prepared the body by washing it, as was the custom, and they laid it in the upper room, maybe even the room where the church met. But they didn't complete the rituals. There's no anointing of the body, and there's certainly no burial. They left room for God to act. They had faith that God was going to do something, and that faith reached out, that they reached out to Peter. They knew that Peter was in Lydda. Why did they know Peter was in Lydda? Because God was always already doing something through Peter, with a miraculous healing in that town. Of course, the message got around. It got known, of course, that Peter was there. There was this person that had been bedridden for 8 years, got up and walked. Now we're moving out from Jerusalem, and Peter has got to Lydda. And when they contact Peter, it took them, you know, this isn't a WhatsApp, this isn't a text message, this isn't a phone call. Now, Google Maps tells us that this is currently a 4.5 to 5 hour walk. Now, I reckon the roads are probably a bit better now, and I certainly think the footwear is probably better. But then they didn't have to skirt around the airport. But it was still a lengthy journey. This is going to take a day to do. So they set out. And when they got to Peter, do you notice Peter responds immediately? God's plan wasn't going to fail on Peter's watch. He was ready and available for God to use him. Now, someone has said that the greatest ability God requires from us is availability. And Peter was available. Now we get a little, the whole story about how Peter sent the people out of the room. And he just quietly prayed. He actually did what he'd seen Jesus do. Because a disciple is a follower and emulates the teacher. And Peter did that which he saw Jesus do when Jesus raised people from the dead. This is an amazing episode in the life of the church. And in actual fact, when Jesus raised a young girl in Mark 5:41, Jesus says, Jesus took her hand and said to her, Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, get up. There's just one letter changed to Tabitha kum, Tabitha, get up, in this episode. Suddenly we see the power of the resurrection has been passed on through to the apostles and through to the early church. The power of God doesn't change. It's so essential that we understand the power of resurrection life. I could ask you the question, does anybody know how many people in the Bible have been raised from the dead? Well, we don't know. It doesn't tell us. But we do know that there are 10 occasions in the Bible of being raised from the dead. A number in the Old Testament and a number in the New. Why we don't know the actual number is because there's an occasion when a number of people were raised and we don't know the number in that one particular occasion. Of particular interest, I don't know whether someone's going to come to Acts 20 and do anything on it. This is a rather concerning episode where a young man falls to sleep while someone's preaching. I want to be careful up the top there and fall down the stairs at all. Can't guarantee the same situation as with Dorcas. Now, Tabitha actually is the only adult woman in that list. Again, there's a lot of unique things about Tabitha that bring it to our attention. Now, Tabitha was raised. Well, why was Tabitha raised? Why was Tabitha raised from the dead? It wasn't for her own sake. And it wasn't for the church to get her back. But those there needed to understand, needed to know that resurrection life and the power of God existed. You know, what we read in our verses was that many people in Joppa and wider believed. Why? Because it was Tabitha, it was Dorcas that was raised to life. And everybody knew her and her good work, her discipleship, her trustworthiness. They could believe what they saw, because they had trust in Dorcas. Therefore, God could work through Dorcas, raising her to life to demonstrate his power over life, power over death, and a resurrection life. And this is the hope that we still live in, that we need to live in. We need to live in the power of resurrection life. Two things are demonstrated when someone's raised to life. It's the power of God to raise the dead to life and the promise of God prophesied and fulfilled. The dead are raised to life, we can have hope. See, our question, you know, from a public relations point of view, just a couple of chapters earlier, Acts chapter 7, Stephen is martyred, stoned to death. Wouldn't it have been better to have raised Stephen to life? Wow, wouldn't that have been something? You know, Saul, later to be called Paul, was there. Can you imagine the impact before the Sanhedrin if Stephen was raised to life? But you see, God's plans are much better. Following Stephen's death, the church scattered. And they moved out to places like Lydda and Joppa and on to other areas. Peter was in Lydda because the persecution that came after Stephen's death caused them to move out. This couldn't have occurred if that hadn't happened. And then when Dorcas is raised to life, it moves it on a whole new thing. God's plan and God's ways are right. And God understands and God knows and God does the right thing. Sometimes it's difficult for us to understand that when we're in a situation where we're bereaved. But in this instance, it's quite clear what happened to the church because of Stephen's death and what happened to the church because of Dorcas being raised to life. God had a plan. Yes, God had compassion on the people who mourned Dorcas. Yes, she was needed. Yes, it was important that compassion wasn't lost from the church at that time. But primarily, this is part of God's plan to extend the kingdom. You know, actually there's a challenge there for us to sort of, you know, does the name Dorcas, you know, reflect on us? So does the name Nigel have that impact? Will people trust what God does in Nigel? Is it a witness? Is it what caused the church and the kingdom to grow? Because it was Dorcas, and because of all her good works, because of the way she worked out her discipleship, it was a massive message. Challenges there. See, again, as I said, I think Joppa was known because of Dorcas. And we could ask the question, what is Folkestone known as? What's Folkestone known for? Is it because of the church? Good if it was, wasn't it? But then bring it a bit home. What's my street known for? The streets that we live in? Are they known because of us and because of what we do and how we serve them? Big challenge there. Peter stays on and he goes to Simon the Tanner. Maybe not immediately obvious that Simon the Tanner, because he was dealing with dead animals, he was himself unclean, and bridges the gap between Peter moving on to go and see Cornelius go into further afield and reaching out to the Gentiles, and the message becomes wider and wider because of this episode. We're all called to be Tabithas. And Tabitha was a symbol of resurrection life. But she was a symbol of resurrection life well before she was raised from the dead because of what she did. We need to be symbols of resurrection life. Peter had a command. There was a thing that when the church scattered, one of the people that scattered was Philip. And Philip reached out to this area, including Joppa. It may even have been through Philip that Tabitha was saved. I've looked into a little bit about modern day resurrection, and I'll leave it with you to look at it yourself. I was particularly moved by this instance of this doctor in Australia, partly because he was a doctor, and partly because he died in a hospital connected up to an ECG, 50 minutes of cardiac attention to try and get his heart started again, 13 defibrillator goes, pronounced dead. His wife arrives to the hospital after that, prays a quiet prayer on her own, and his heart started beating again. The power, and as I'll leave you to look it up and read it, but I have a faith where the person that happens to points all the glory to Jesus and takes none of it themselves. Now, Peter says to rise, and I really feel that the Tabitha rise, when that rise message is for every one of us. Maybe in my thinking at the moment, it actually replaces the wow. We've moved on from wow, and now God is telling us to rise. Rise up to be the right type of disciple. Rise up to do always doing good. Just going to read this prayer. It's from a Franciscan benediction. It's actually in Philip Yancey's book on prayer, but I rather like it. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep in your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain to joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and to the poor. Amen. Why Tabitha? Because Tabitha is an example of what we're all supposed to be. Compassion and caring should be in our DNA. We're called to care and serve each other and those in the world that others leave behind. Figuratively and in reality, the widows and orphans. But don't undervalue, this is the message of Dorcas, don't undervalue the small things, the humble things, the simple things. You know, I was impressed, I don't know what the word is really, I was humbled by knowing that one of us, you know, produces flapjacks for the drop-in. You know, don't undervalue that. That's a Dorcas act. That's helping people. And we can all get involved in that. Just want to finish with, what's the response? The response, I think, is maybe that we want to get involved in discipleship more. That we want to get maybe involved in serving. Maybe that you need to go and see Joyce or someone to say, of these things that have been listed that we're already doing, how do I get involved in those? Or maybe you need to go and see Phil or James, Fiona, Hannah, about actually we're missing out on a really needy group and you can help get that started. It might be that you need to join a connect group, a place where actually you can serve each other better and know the needs that exist within the group. It might be that you need to get on an alpha course because actually you've not experienced this resurrection life. It may be that you want to grab hold of that resurrection power that little bit more. Just going to finish with this prayer that I heard last night on the Festival of Remembrance service. I don't think we should forget in as Remembrance Sunday, we have been looking at Dorcas and we have been looking at both servanthood and death. And those that gave their lives in the wars, I think, they're a symbol of that to us as well. This is the prayer of Ignatius. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will. Amen.